Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 49, commenting on the very first paragraph, which begins, "Instead of regarding ourselves." The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, August 20th at 10 a.m. is 13298. That's 13,298. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting for Wednesday, August 21st is 13305. That's 13,305. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are all self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Bernie W. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, good morning. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. And the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except that to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Bernie W., and sorry to interrupt you with my cough. Okay, and we have Alice G. Will you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning, all. This is Alice G., recovered in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Have a great day.
Thank you, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 49 in the first paragraph, and I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of it all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? fairly pointed words here. I mean, they're getting right to it. Poking a bit at my ego and making me ask myself, did I really think I was all that, that grand and that powerful, that my intelligence could be the last word? Oh, boy. You know, instead of giving God the credit for my intelligence and my intellect and being able to navigate in the world and figure some things out. The Alpha and the Omega, there's, you know, the reference to the Christian relationship with referring to God. So, you know, basically I thought I was God, that what I thought was the end all and the be all. And yeah, vanity, absolutely. But an ego, you know, my ego, I thought that I knew what was best, that I was going to definitely give my opinion and you should follow it, especially when it came to my children. Oh, good grief. And, you know, and because it was, what was it all based under fear, underlying fear? You know, I was trying to control, manage, manipulate, all out of thinking that I knew what was best, that if they'd only do as I thought they should do, then it would all be for the good. So much ego, so much vanity. Not vanity in the sense of my physicality, because obviously, you know, my weight was a huge issue, but vain in terms of my ego. And being able to turn it around and realize that whether I believe that nothing is known of the existence of God, believed that, or whether I believed that I disbelieve or lack belief in the existence of God. Either way, you know, I get a chance today to do it differently. I get a chance today to surrender my will to the higher power of my understanding and be willing to take some direction and seek the guidance that is going to bring me to a different place, that is going to show me how to look at the world with new eyes and a new understanding, where I don't have to try to be in charge, because God's got that. I just simply get to be an agent. Yes, I have intelligence, but I also have the capacity to be of service. And so if I can take that intelligence and direct it toward being of service, then that's the winning combination for me. That's when I'm going to have my freedom, my serenity, and my peace. And very grateful for it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kenya C. Who'd like to comment on that first paragraph on page 49?
Freedom Age.
Oh, Freedom,
Michelle?
I hear you.
Michelle.
Queen
Patty.
Irene B.
Kathleen O. And there was one more. I room for one more.
Janice P.
Janice PM. And I'm sorry, I didn't hear anybody else clearly, but we'll get you the next time around. I have Freedom H. Michelle, I'll need the first initial of your last name. Patty T. Irene B. Kathleen O. And Janice PM. Please go ahead, Freedom H.
Thank you so much for everyone's service. I'm not real clear, or I don't know much about agnostics or atheists, but I do know the religious people in my life was always twisting and interfering in my, they were not helping me develop a relationship to go to higher power. They were interfering and twisting things around, and a lot of it was to twist the truth to suit their own ego. I feel like it was their own ego needs that they were trying to meet, and then they were stuck in that cycle of it's got to be their way or the highway type of mentality, and there's only one way. Well, no. The 12 steps has proven and taught to me that I can develop a relationship with higher power, with God, and everybody is at their own level. Everybody understands higher power in their own way, in their own timing, in their own, it's very personal between them and higher power. I been through a whole lot, and I've lived with a whole lot of different people, but yeah, to me to say there is no God, I personally could not even go there. I know there is, because I've been protected by God. I mean, I can't sit here and explain in detail, you know, exactly who and what God is. I don't know that. And, you know, maybe one day that will be revealed. But for right now, I just know there is definitely God protecting me. I've been hanging off a cliff, almost falling over so many times throughout my life. I've almost fallen off a cliff over and over and over again. And he's right there holding me, balancing me, right, pushing me right back up. Right again. I have been insane. I have I don't know. I have a bad ego, but I don't think my ego could ever be as inflamed as to say that I don't believe in God. I'm thankful he came to me when I was younger, and I just know he presented himself to me when I was younger, and I know there is a God, and I just want to do this 12-step program is all I do know. That's the only thing out of anything in the world I've been through and I've lived with. I've lived all over the world, Alaska, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, but anyhow, The only thing that is real and true in my life and has helped me was the 12-step program. Like, being 4 years behind people because I was mentally disabled, the 12-step program helped me, and I was mentally disabled. So that ought to tell you something, because if you work the 12-step program, it works, and it's teaching me how to have a healthy relationship with my fellows and with higher power first. Find a
sense of reminder.
Contact with higher power, however he presents himself to me, which is very personal. It's nobody's business. And then to have a relationship with other people and to be kind and to be compassionate. And I didn't learn that. I didn't learn to be compassionate. The people I was with were very rigid, very bully, very, my mom was a biker, my family was, and they were not kind, gentle people. And this program is, though. This program is very kind, very gentle, very awesome. I can't get a microphone and scream it enough how wonderful this 12-step program and has taught me to connect with the higher power
you,
who
freedom,
does love me,
time.
Who does accept me, who does care about me, who has been. And I see now, I look back and go, wow, he's held me on this edge of this cliff forever. So anyhow, Mew, thank you for letting me share all this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Freedom H. Gentle reminder, try to keep your share to 3 minutes, please. And we will now have Michelle. May I have your first initial of your last name, please? And you'll be followed by Patty T.
I am Michelle J. from Arkansas.
Thank you so much.
Hey, good morning, you all. I got a chance to share earlier, and I just got to thinking about things, and it became a little clearer. And I just wanted to share that when I was an atheist, I became an atheist because I didn't trust authority. And so I became my own God, my own alpha. I became very vain, and I tried every which way to struggle in life. Well, I was also thinking about what brought me to my knees, what brought me to brokenness, and what brought me again back to a belief in a higher power. And that was the brokenness. And I thought, there's many institutions. We have boot camp in the military. They need to break a person down in order to receive instruction, in order to hear it, in order to have authority and trust it. Same thing with, hopefully, the jail or the prison. That's kind of an idea for them. And then you have, well, not a good idea, but you've got cults. And in some cults, they do the same thing. They break a person down so that they are open to authority or open to instruction. And those things work. And in this program, in order for me to have received what God had for me, I had to be broken. And I was, and I was on my knees. And I just want to say that it's a scary place to be, but it's where you start in a belief in a higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle J. Patty T, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Irene B.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Patty T from Southern California. Good morning, fellows. You know, I love this idea of being an intelligent agent spearheading God's ever-advancing creation, rather than than being the word itself, you know, because that's what I was. I was my God, and my disease was my God, actually. Food was my God. I had a lot of gods, actually. I had other people. I had all kinds of things and that I used as a God, all based on my own ideas of what God should be. And that is rather vain, isn't it? But today, you know, the program is teaching me that when I avail myself to a fellow or to a sponsee or to a coworker or to anybody in my family as a result of the grace of God, and with an open mind and in honesty and willingness, my whole perception changes. I am able to act as an intelligent agent of my higher power. I am able to let go of all of those old ideas and those bizarre belief systems, because they really were. I grew up, I created some bizarre belief systems raising myself in an alcoholic home. And I'm just overjoyed lately at how amazing this program is and how amazing my life is in response to it. I just can't say enough. And it's because these steps bring me closer to God, and so do you guys every single morning with your experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Patty T. Irene B., you're up next, and you're followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just love this paragraph, and I thank God that he helped me make a connection to who I have been all my life. I have been disconnected from self, so understanding myself is a huge, tremendous gift of this program, of my higher power, of my God. I say that I thought I was God, but what does that mean? It just meant that I knew everything. I had the answers to everything. And whatever I wanted, I should have. I call that of entitlement. And by God, I had a sense of entitlement. And to get rid of that sense of entitlement means that I have to accept that there was a power greater than I, that there was an intelligence greater than I, that I wasn't the ultimate, the alpha and the omega. He is, not I. And it's taken so long to get to this understanding and all that it implies. In order to get that understanding, I had to let go of all preconceived notions, one of the greatest ones being that I was the all-knowing, all-powerful one. And when I realized the powers and the limitations of my own self, that's when I went to God. And God was to do my bidding. When I was a child, I wanted him to do my bidding. I wanted him to make my life better because life was unsufferable. But and when he didn't deliver, I got angry. I guess I got angry. I don't know. I don't do anger. Well, I didn't do anger then. So I'm just going to say that I am, again, and I keep saying this, so thankful to this program that is helping me uncover all that's been there and then discover it and look at it and realize for what it was and replace it with something that works. Because I thought that everything that I did worked, but the truth is that it didn't. Thank you so much. I'll just say one more thing, and that is that I struggled with compulsive overeating and bulimia with no help for 58 years. Well, 52. And with this program, I overcame. And I thank you all for being my teachers, and I love you all, and I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Irene B. Kathleen O., you're up next. And you'll be followed by Janice P.M., and after that, we'll take a new lineup. So please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Elaine. It's nice to be on the line this morning with everyone. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. And this paragraph, along with the previous paragraphs, seem to be pointing out the fact that just possibly our darn ego is getting in the way of realizing that there might be something that might solve our problem. You know, I don't know how many of us would be on this line this morning if we could have solved this food problem and this living problem on our own. And as much as I love all of you, I know I wouldn't be here today if I could have figured this out myself. And the sentence, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? And there's that ego again, you know, easing God out. And vain, the definition of vain is conceited and lacking substance. So that's not a very pretty description of anyone. And that I know that was me. So, you know, we think we're intelligent, excuse me, yet all our intellect and logic and knowledge got us nowhere. So until we ask for help and are willing to surrender and trust that there might be something different that may work, the option is we may stay miserable. So, you know, pain was the great motivator for me. I was so beaten up by this disease that I had to become humble and believe in a power greater than me. And finally, when I stopped fighting the idea of God, a God that might do for me what I couldn't do for myself, well, all action is born in thought. And when I started to believe, then the miracles began to happen in my life. And to have total freedom from the foods I used to binge on, to be in a normal-sized body that feels healthy, light, and energetic, that is a miracle, and it's why I came into this program and why I work through those steps and practice them every day. But I also do it because to feel freedom and happiness, having a new purpose in life, to accept myself and others just the way we are, that's a friggin' miracle. And to trust God has my back when things don't seem to be going my way, having less fear, this shift in attitude of how I think, act, and feel is truly divine intervention. So if you're still struggling with the God thing, you know, really there's a choice here. The choice I had was I could stay in my misery or I could think outside the box and act as if. And once I started acting as if, I was headed in the right direction and the miracles happened. So thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Janice PM is up next, but first let me let you know that after her share, we're going to be taking a new lineup, and we're commenting on the first paragraph on page 49 in the chapter We Agnostics. It begins with, instead of regarding ourselves, and look forward to hearing your comments on that. Janice PM, please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, my dear. Elaine B., my name is Janice PM, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God, and I'm from Massachusetts. Well, I usually don't read from conference-approved literature, but there's a page.
We lost you, Janice. We're not hearing you. Whoops, we lost you all.
Did you hear anything I said?
Something about reading from conference approved literature,
yes,
and there's a page.
Thank
Please
you.
Go ahead.
And then it went muted. All right. The book, if you haven't got it or if you do have it, it's called As Bill Sees It. And on page 60, I don't think I could say it any better because I identify so much with it. And the title is We Can't Think Our Way to Sobriety or to Recovery. What, imagine we can't think our way? That's true, because I was one of those, I'm going to just take pieces from it, intellectually self-sufficient woman. Very, very stubborn. I was too smart for my own good. That's why I couldn't get it, because, you know, after all, I thought it was my brain power alone. Imagine, because I could do other things. I wasn't really stupid. But when it came to this illness, I should have been stupid, because then I could open up my mind more. And, you know, the most brilliant mind is no defense against the disease of compulsive overeating. You can have all the college degrees you want. You know, your IQ could be big, but I needed a power greater than myself that would restore me to different thinking. My thinking was the problem. You know, who gave me my intelligence in the first place? Was my creator, you know, and he wanted me desperate I believe, so that I can get better and receive this gift so I could give it to somebody else. Because let me tell you, my intelligence is not particularly a reliable tool for recovery, as I said, okay? Not a high Q or a college degree is going to get me recovered. I just have not found that. That was the big block in me, all right? Not a reliable tool. I needed another power, not a piece of paper, not a college professor. It was the 12 steps to change my thinking that I could find a way, and I tried to do it a long, long time, to control my compulsive overeating. So now I don't have to try anymore. Thank you, Elaine. I don't have to try anymore, but just do my actions every day of the 12 steps, practicing these principles. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice PM. And thank you, everybody who shared so far. We're ready for another lineup. And who would like to comment on this powerful paragraph?
Beatrice O.
M.
Sherry KB.
I heard Beatrice, Sherry KB.
Sherry D.
And somebody M. Sherry KB
Kathy?
And Sherry D. Was it Kathy
it's Sherry
M?
B.
I heard Sherry
yes.
B. And I also
and
heard
Kathy
Sherry
M.
KB, I believe. Kathy M. Great.
Rachel
W.
Tommy
oh,
Lou
You know what? I think
Anthony
I think I remember hearing Anthony S. in the first lineup. So I had made a note of your name. So I'm not going to have time for all these people
Maxie.
That I wrote down. I will not have time for the people that I currently have. So let's see how we do. I've got Anthony S. I kind of realized that when I came out of the fog at the last group. Beatrice O., Sherry KB, Sherry M., Kathy M., and Rachel W. I'm not sure if we'll have time for Rachel, but I got you down. And we'll do the best we can, and please do your best to stick to the 3 minutes, and we'll be able to do that, okay? And actually, 3 minutes or less, we're kind of close now already. So please go ahead, Anthony S., you're followed by Beatrice O. And star one to unmute, Anthony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Anthony S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Sorry about the background noise. I just have found less time nowadays. But I have found that this program has helped me recover from what I used to do back when I was in the disease was binge eating. And it would get in the way of my life in the sense of I would be going somewhere or trying to do something, and I would find myself going for the food instead. And so now what I do is I just go through the steps that I was taken through by my sponsor. So I did get a sponsor, and he took me through the chapters one by one. And I had no idea. This is not really a program of knowing. Of course, knowing is actually a part of it, I'm sorry, but it's not like the more you know, the more you're going to recover, in my experience. It's the more that you act on it and do it, then you suddenly get recovered. And that's what I found in myself. Again, I'm very sorry about the background noise, but yeah, I found that I've been able to get recovery, like actual, literal recovery with my food, acting on the steps. I am available to be a sponsor. I know that's at the end of the meeting we do that, but I would encourage anyone who's interested in working the program to get a big book and also a sponsor who's been through it before to take you through, since they've been taken through the book before by their sponsor. And yeah, so thank you for letting me share. Yeah.
Oh, thank you too very much, Anthony. Good to hear your voice on the line. Beatrice O., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. from Northern California, recovering food addict. And I just want to say that my higher power is not a religion. I just want to put that out there. So my higher power, however, my higher power is the Alpha and Omega. And my higher power does have the last word. And, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And I have a compassionate God, a Father. He is my father and mother. And He lives in me, in my heart. And what I struggle with is the negative. I struggle with perfection. And I have a compassionate God who loves me. I can feel Him. I can see Him in other people. And I can see the beauty in this world. And I also believe that there's the negative. You can call them the disease, or you can call it the devil, or you could call it whatever you want to call it. But I know there's two entities. There is good and evil. And so I thank God for these 12 steps. And my higher power lives within me. And I'm grateful. And I'm abstinent again. And I just want to say, if anybody out there recently lost their abstinence and is starting again, you know, it's taking me a few weeks to regain an abstinence with a commitment. And one of the reasons why is because I activated that disease. Anyway, I'm grateful today. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Beatrice O. Sherry KB, you're followed by Sherry M., I believe it is.
Elaine, this is Sherry KB. I'm going to pass so there's others that can share. Thank you so much for your service.
That is so kind and considerate of you. Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Sherry M., you're up next. Oh, maybe it's Sherry B, followed by Kathy M. So please clarify for me. Was there another Sherry that wanted to share? Okay. Sorry, the cacophony of names. Got a little mixed up there. Let's go right to, excuse me, Kathy M., and you'll be followed by Rachel W.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovering compulsive overeater in the Detroit area. And this is my first time sharing on the line, so I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been, you don't know you've been there for me, but you've been there for me for months. I've been listening on the line for a long time. Anyway, I just wanted to comment on this. I kind of take issue with the way Bill phrased it, because he implies that the higher power has to be a creative kind of a force. And I've always considered myself an atheist / agnostic, and have always recognized that there's a force greater than humans. My difference was that I didn't think of how I fit in with that force. And now through OA, I've been able to see that I'm a part of that higher power, or that the plan that higher power or that force of nature, whatever you want to call it, has for us. And it's made me realize that I'm a part of it, and I'm part of the plan, and that force is going to restore me to my proper place. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you so much for allowing me to share and for being there every day.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy. Love to have people who haven't shared on the line, and we really appreciate your sharing. Rachel W., you're up next, and I think there will be time for Sherry KB if you want to get in the queue again. So Rachel W., please go ahead. Star 1 to unmute.
Is that Rachel P.?
Oh, it could very well be. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Oh, my gosh, I love this paragraph, and it reminded me of the little quote at the top of the For Today reader, which I know is not a big book, but I'm just going to read it really quickly. Every man takes the limits of his own field of vision for the limits of the world. Arthur Schopenhauer. And that was absolutely my experience as it related to a higher power. And I was just thinking about breaking down how I came to believe in a higher power, because I was an atheist, 100% staunch atheist. I bought the Atheist Manifesto at the bookstore. I was like card-carrying atheist, and I would tell anybody who asked that I was an atheist. At that time, the formula for my spiritual experience, or lack thereof, was that I can't observe, therefore it doesn't exist. Therefore, I'm not going to engage. And then it shifted to agnosticism for me. I started going to church, a Unitarian church, where they accept all kinds of different religious backgrounds. And I was able to kind of understand that I can't observe, therefore it might exist. I don't know. Yet I won't engage. At that time, I wouldn't engage in any kind of spiritual practice. And then I came into the rooms of OA, and I had been to OA once before in my early 20s, about 7 years ago, and I heard the word God, and I was out. I wanted nothing to do with it. I was at that first formula, right? But when I came back to OA May of last year, my mindset shifted to, I can't observe, therefore it might exist, therefore I am willing to engage. And that's the key for me, is willingness. I wasn't ready to use the word God at the time. I just used the word trust because it had to be something greater than me, and I just had to give up control. And now that I've been in program for over a year, and I have seen a series of miracles. I've had a spiritual experience. I am now of the mindset of, I can't observe, therefore it might exist, therefore I do engage. And again, that's the key, is I act. I act, and I am not only willing, but I am ready to do the work. And at first it was acting as if, but now it's become that I have a conscious contact with my higher power. And that is so incredible, given that I was an atheist for so many years. And how do I experience God? I see God in the connections with other people, especially in OA. I see God, this is so silly, but I see God when I see a bunny running across a lawn, because that is my reminder to be present. I experience God when I experience the miracles. My brother, who tried to commit suicide last week, we were able to find him before it was too late. And now I experience God. And it is such a miracle, and I'm so grateful for this program. So with that, I will pass.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Really appreciate that. Rachel P. Sherry KB, would you like to come on and share, please?
Sure, Elaine. Of course. Would you like for me to take two?
No, we've got three. Please go ahead.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for your service, Lane, and Team Wednesday. Thank you so much for everybody on the line and the shares and the newcomers, and welcome people who are listening and being there. You know, I was listening to everybody, and, you know, the alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and the omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So it's the beginning and the end, and so, you know, it's beginning and all in between, and to me, that's my higher power. My God's the beginning, and God's all the way through to the end. And except for the problem was for me that, you know, I was, you know, myself, ever advancing creation of disaster, is what I would say I was around the food and around me trying to control it and manipulating it and think that I could do this, I've got this, you know. I have a sponsee that we've agreed that she doesn't get to say I've got this, and I tease her about it because I don't have this and I never will have it. God's got it, but I don't. And so here, if I'm trying to do God's will, I need to step back and let God be the beginning and the end, not me, because I've done it for so many years that way. And I just realize more and more how, you know, vain, when they talk about vain, which in the big book, it means, you know, unsuccessful, prideful, conceited, fruitless, you know. Yeah, those are all descriptions of what I've tried to do to control my disease. When I didn't even know for a long time that I had a disease, I didn't know it wasn't a moral issue. It's not a moral issue. But I was trying to make it so because, see, I had this ego that was in everything else in my life, and I thought I didn't need God. Plus, I believe in God, but you know what? For some reason, my ego did not believe that God had the power to help somebody like me. How vain of that was me, really. That's what I got. How vain of me to think that God couldn't help me. Or I'd use the excuse, well, God's got better things to do than worry about my disease. And that's not true because my higher power loves me very much. And I just know that the minute the ego gets in there, I'm in trouble. As Kathleen O said, it is edging God out. And it's true. My ego, that's the voice of my disease. You know, any time that I think I can run the Sherry Show, any kind of obstacle that gets in my way, that's all definition of my disease. It doesn't have to be the food. It can be in my thinking. It could be I can be face down in the emotions just as much as I was face down in the food. That's why I need my higher power. I need you guys. I need this book. I need to take people through it. I need to go through it. I need to do it every day. I can't rest on my laurels. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Aline.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry KB. And we had a couple of short shares, and it does leave us with 2 minutes if anybody would like to take that.
Mag C.
Mag C, you got it. Please go ahead.
Awesome. I'll keep this really short. Hi, guys. Mag C from Denver. So it's really crazy. I mean, I learned that probably my manageable behavior over my life was perhaps controlling behavior that I had mislabeled. And of all of these issues that can be out there, a person who has survived trauma or abuse, all of these issues that we face, control is an issue that seems to take more time and more patience to lessen. And what step two is all about to me is that over the decades in program, it has taken me years to just release or for me to feel secure and safe enough. And I do trust this program. I absolutely trust the steps. Even the first time I went through the steps, I actually let go of that exhaustive control that I had because I never felt safe before. I never trusted anything outside of myself to help me. And so it's for me, growing up in a dangerous home, I needed to stay in control of my emotions and thoughts just to survive. You know, a show of emotion or making the wrong move could basically mean humiliation or harm. And growing up like that, I just didn't know. And I was the only one that I could concretely see that could keep me safe was me. And so, oh my goodness. I mean, I realize that my insanity plays out in how I control my environment by how I'm perceived by others, by what I eat, and thus how I look. When I'm fat, I feel ignored, and I feel safe. When I'm thin and in shape, I feel sexual and thus vulnerable to attack. So, oh my goodness, how can a person feel all this stressed out about food all the time without just dying? Absolutely. And it becomes a miserable, miserable way of life. So I've learned to respect my past around food, that soul rupture that I had around food. And I just learned there's no right or wrong answers to step two. Just be open. That's all this program asks. Just be honest. Even if you're not open, just be honest. And you can achieve the greatest possible personal growth through these steps. Pray to God, but keep rowing to shore. That's my motto. That's all I got, you guys. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much for carrying us out, Meg C. And we will, and thanks to everybody who shared, especially newcomers. So great to hear you on the line, but thank you everybody who has shared today. We will now transition the meeting by reading from the big book, page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, plus newcomer greeters and some announcements. So will Mary H. please read a vision for you?
Hello, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin, grateful to do service, and this is the last two paragraphs of the chapter, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.